All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of It's Bruin at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino, and today I'm joined by two of my co-hosts, Matthew Giardino and John Kaplan. We are also joined by a very special guest today, the head coach of USF baseball, head coach Mitch Hanna's. Coach, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you back on the show. First off, how are you doing today?
Well, good guys, doing good as we speak. We're getting ready for a three-game series with Maryland, so we certainly have our work cut out for us.
Definitely challenging opponent from the Big Ten. Obviously, already had a good Big Ten battle to start the year, and looks like we'll have another one. I wanted to ask. We spoke to you about a month ago, right before the season started, and now that we're a month into this, just wanted to ask you: do you have any favorite moments or stories so far? It could be on the field, it could be off the field. Anything from that's happened in the past month?
Gosh, I think I think we got a shift from baseball. I think obviously women's basketball is taking the front and center today. So I'd have to say women's basketball winning the league and qualifying for the NCAA tournament. That's probably the neatest thing going on at USF right now.
I love that. I love that. That was actually awesome to see. It's really excited to watch them in March Madness. I think that's a great one.
We're trying to get Coach out to throw the first pitch here this weekend, one of the games. So I ho hopefully we can get it done.
Oh, love that. Nice. Awesome. I'll kick it to John.
How's it going, Coach? So we had you on the show about a month ago, right before the season started. We're now sitting 14 games in, or roughly about a quarter into the season. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're feeling about the team and the season thus far? How has the start of the season measured up to your expectations going into it? And a multi-piece question for you: is there anything you think we're starting to do well or very close to doing well that maybe doesn't show up on the stat sheet just yet, but you feel like it's coming? Are there any areas that ring a bell?
Well, I think in terms of the start of the season, we've had a lot of conversations as a staff behind closed doors, going into it, what our strengths were, what our weaknesses were, where someone's going to expose us, where they're going to expose, individual players, how they're going to pregame for our pitchers, how they're going to pregame for our hitters, so on and so forth. I think for the most part, it's been pretty much what we expected. We felt like we had some uncertainty on the mound, and we knew that would be something that needed to shake out and improve as we keep moving forward. We felt like we had some holes in our lineup. We just need some guys to step up in some of those areas. But I think for the most part, it's about what we expected. I think the most important part for young players is to understand that that's. Everybody goes through that. There are some teams in the country that are kicking tail and taking names, and they haven't been exposed yet. But I think if you've played a good enough schedule early, you have been exposed in some areas, and it's good for you. It's obviously good for you before your conference play, to maybe shift some things around and try to get some people in different positions, try to change up your pitching a little bit. Maybe some guys haven't thrown as well as you would hope, and so on and so forth. So I think a lot of this is we didn't come in with three or four top-end arms returning. We didn't come in with four or five proven guys and two or three middle-of-the-lineup guys that are RBI producers. So when you have that and you have a lot of guys that really haven't proven themselves on this stage in particular, it does take time. It does take a little time. And in terms of the games, I haven't. This past weekend was the only weekend I was really disappointed in our club. I felt like, and I told the guys this, I felt like we prepared fairly hard, but when you start evaluating uniforms in your mind and saying, well, that's Villanova, that's not UCF, or that's not Iowa, or that's not, And no matter how much you say it, we changed up some things with practice. We changed up some things with the scout to really put emphasis on Villanova, knowing that if there's a sleeper for a setting there, it's probably that series. And we didn't play well. We didn't play extremely well in that series. And so that's the only disappointing one. I think we've all figured out that UCF's got a pretty damn good team. After what they've done to Florida and Miami and everybody else in the wake of, so the one thing that I said to the staff, we were talking, it's we're not as bad as we thought we were after UCF, and we're certainly not as good as maybe we thought we were on day one. So somewhere in between there, we've got to find ourselves and move forward and have guys continue to improve. And that's been the message I said after the Villanova series. Whether we had won on Sunday or not, whether you're 1-2 or 2-1 out of that weekend, there's still a lot of work to be done. And the teams that can keep their head in there and keep battling and going to work every day are the teams that at the end of the season have a chance. A lot of teams, the games start and, my legs are a little sore, my arms are a little sore, I don't feel great today. Get back on the horse and get back to work. That's the only way you're going to get through any tough time, any tough patch in athletics, is to get back at it and go. And that's really where we're at. We had a pretty good practice today. Does that mean anything for tomorrow? No, not really, because you're only as good as your next starting pitcher, and momentum can be very short-lived, which we have seen here early in the season.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, having 24 new faces on a roster that can make things a little bit difficult. You're shuffling around early, but one thing that we're seeing play out is like some of the key pieces of the culture that you spoke on preseason. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the team responds to this adversity and kind of makes it an opportunity. I appreciate you, Coach.
Cool. So, next question that I have is, obviously, you've already had to manage 7 games, but you also have to manage the recruiting process at the same time. You had mentioned that, this was a busy week for recruiting. Could you share a little bit about what you and the coaching staff have been up to on that front? Have you been out to see any games in person or anyone from your staff?
Yeah, actually, Coach Peters and Coach Kangas have worn the brunt of the catching games, the last week. And I, sometimes guys aren't in practice because of that, getting out to see guys. So we like to get guys out, and especially this time of year, I think it's much better to evaluate players in their high school season than it is during summer baseball. And that's been a big push for us to make sure we get around and see all of the local teams. There's players pretty much on all of the local teams. So we've had guys out trying to catch guys. We've also tried keeping up with the guys that have committed to us and following their progress, which is really important in this day and age as well. So keeping a hand on, all of that is really, really important. I think we're setting at about 21 new guys coming in here next year, and we're still trying to get a few more. So recruiting is a big piece of this. When we got in here in June, I don't even call that first summer recruiting. That's kind of a scraping. You're scraping over what's left to try to get some guys to come play for your team. So after the summer scraping, and we were fortunate, man, were we fortunate, to get a guy like Corey Braun and late. It's just a godsend because he's been unbelievable for us, and Sebastian Greco. So the recruiting right now is really, really important, because it's you're identifying guys that are going to be the next phase of this, and building the base for a long time to come. And that's why we've got a lot of high school guys sprinkled in that, with several junior college guys. And just like every team throughout the country, we're sitting back here, hopefully with about 4 or 5 spots for portal guys when it's all said and done.
And when you're looking at this upcoming recruiting class, how do you really see it shaking out in terms of, is it going to be more pitching heavy? Is it going to be more, position, based heavy? How's that looking so far?
Well, it's heavy pitching. It is. There are a lot of arms in there, and probably more heavy pitching after watching the first 14 games. I think the reality is you never have enough pitching. You always think you do, and we're also in a scenario where you guys know the numbers change next year. And I'm not going to mention any names, but a few of the kids we've got signed coming in here are throwing at a level that there's some concern that we get them in here. There's some concern that we lose them to the draft. So we'll probably have to go over a couple of arms just to protect ourselves. But it is pitching heavy.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting going to 34 scholarships and having to balance that whole entire dynamic. But thank you so much for answering that question.
Yeah, and I'll kick it to our next segment of the show. I wanted to spend a little time on some player spotlights. So some players that have stood out to us as fans so far this season, and kind of just ask you about them. And then towards the end of that, give you an opportunity to maybe highlight a couple guys that maybe we didn't mention. So I'll start it off here with two guys that we as Bulls fans are very familiar with. Granted, they've spent their whole career here at USF. Marcus Brodell and Jackson Mayo, both senior outfielders. They're both having really solid seasons at the plate. They're putting up good numbers there, making some good plays on defense as well. What can you say about each of them? What do you like about their games and what they're contributing?
Well, first and foremost, they're good people. I mean, they're just good young men, and that's they've really adapted well to us coming in. It's not easy, especially if your last go around as a senior. You got these new guys coming in and throwing a bunch of stuff at you, and just really good guys, and I think really good players. I mean, both of those guys have next level potential. They've got to continue to put it together throughout the season and be very consistent. But, those are Marcus and Jackson are two guys that as you look at outfielders across the country, there aren't guys a lot better than them. I mean, you could argue that they're just as easily draftable as anybody else running around the country. It comes down to the bat in most cases. And I think both of those guys have been solid so far, but I certainly look for them to have a really good middle and finish to the season as well.
I think that they will. I mean, I think especially this past weekend, I saw Jackson Mayo really start to make a lot of good contact. Even in some cases, he would get out, but I mean, the contact was good. And we know one thing that we haven't quite seen from Jackson that much this season is his power potential. I mean, as a freshman, I think he almost hit about 10 home runs. So it's in there somewhere, and it may come out. We may see it.
Yeah, he was pretty
Well,
close this past weekend too.
yeah, exactly.
That one ball that bounced off the yellow. I think the other thing that happens with, when you're a freshman, when you're a young guy, and I've seen this a lot, is you get challenged a lot more. So your power numbers end up maybe being a little better, and then you get older and guys pitch around you in certain spots, or you got to hit a changeup or a breaking ball in certain spots. And I think just the respect that people have shown Jackson and not giving in certain situations. That's why, you always say you're only as good as the guy that hits behind you in the lineup. If you want to see pitches, you got to hope that guy behind you is hot. And there may be some adjustment of where we put Jackson as well in the lineup just to make sure we can protect him moving forward.
I love to hear that. Love to hear that. That's exciting. Really cool. Matt, go ahead.
Cool. So, my next question, it's based on some of the new players on our team. Part of the recruiting, you got two really good players in Ryan Pruitt and Sebastian Greco. Sebastian Greco obviously has a great track record at the Division I level. What can you say about them, and what do you like about each of their games?
Well, they've both been really, really solid for us early. I think obviously two completely different players. Ryan is a guy that his legs are his biggest asset, his ability to run and do some things and bunt and handle the bat. Now, so he's shown a little bit of thump in the bat as well, but he's just a baseball player. He is just a baseball player. He understands the game, understands situations. and has done a really good job for us at the top of the order. We put him at the bottom a little bit. We've kind of bounced him around, but I think he's pretty much settled toward the top. But I just like his game. I just like his game, and I think he's an everyday guy. He's a guy that shows up every day to work. Sebastian, he's been, I had to pinch him a little along the way. He's one of those guys you got to push a little, but I don't think Sebastian has ever known what type of potential he really has. I think he's just always been okay. And I think you see flashes of a guy that is better than okay at times. And I think he'll surprise you with his ability to range at first base and do some things. You know, they had an infield competition on Wednesday that came down to he and Bradke Laurie at shortstop. So, you know, he'll surprise you with his athleticism once in a while. But I think his, you know, his swing is it's not the it's a little unorthodox when you look at his setup and all that, but his anticipation, his ability to sit on a pitch and hit a pitch is really high level. And I think that's been the most impressive thing with Sebastian. You know, you think once in a while that the pitcher's got him on his back and he'll throw another breaking ball or throw something that he thinks Sebastian is going to get frozen up on. And he always seems to find the barrel. And I tell him this all the time, for a 50-year-old looking body, the guy's got power. You know, his arms look like a 50-year-old man, but he's got power. So
I have to
no, he's
comment. I have to comment real quick. I happened to read an article this morning, actually, that talked a little bit about Sebastian Greco's in the Tampa Free Press. Tom Laberger wrote it, and he's talking about he interviewed you. He interviewed Sebastian, and in the interview, you had mentioned that Sebastian said when he came back to USF, he wanted to see the new coach and. You weren't immediately like, come on, buddy, you're on the team. It was kind of like a gradual relationship. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wanted to I knew he was getting recruited by a few other people, and we had actually, where I was at previously, played against Sebastian's team last year. So we saw him up close and personal. So I but as the opposing coach, you don't always remember that stuff. But I came in one day and he was waiting to see me. And I think for me, it was your alarms always go up when someone's waiting to see you. You can't think, oh, why in the world would he just show up? Or does he really want to come here that badly? So I slow played him. I made him really show me that he wanted to be here. And you know, where we were at in the recruiting cycle, you know, we were down to just being able to take another guy or so, you know, just another guy or two. So we were kind of just holding tight, making sure we got the last couple spots right and not being in a hurry. But he kept coming. I mean, he kept calling me. He kept wanting to know if it was going to work and not he was going to go ahead and take the deal at Southern Miss. And thankfully, in the end, he decided to come, and we're certainly glad that he did.
Love that. That's a cool story. I had a chuckle this morning when I read that. But that's a cool story. And
Yeah, we've certainly seen his athleticism with those picks that he has in the dirt, and no, it's super fun watching him play.
one of my favorite moments from Greco this season was I think he had walked he'd been walked three times in the Saturday game when we mounted that comeback against Villanova. Unfortunately, we lost the game late, but he was still hungry for that first pitch. You know, he stays hungry at the plate and he's got a really consistent approach, and he just put a drive into that ball that it was he's just super impressive to watch, and I'm grateful that we don't have to pitch to him, and I'm grateful that he's wearing green and gold for sure. Looking forward to seeing his progression on the field. So I'll go ahead and cap off.
Maybe he's the guy you get. Maybe
Go
he's the
ahead,
guy
Justin.
you guys can get on the show next time.
Hey, I like that. Oh,
Yeah.
don't threaten us with a good time, Coach. We would love that.
Cool.
So I guess I'll go ahead and cap off the player shout outs with a couple of pitchers. Corey Braun has been the Friday night guy for us all season. You know, he's averaging close to 10 Ks an outing. And Bryce Archie has turned some heads as well. And what I want you to go ahead and expand on them a little bit. And we saw a move on Bryce Archie that was a little bit earlier than expected, you know, with spring football going on, him being in the weekend rotation. And if you don't mind, Coach, go ahead and expand on what you feel his role is moving forward.
Well, I think the tough thing, first of all, I'll start with Corey Braun. That guy is just a flat competitor. Don't be fooled by the quiet, easygoing smile because he is a competitor. And I think that obviously where he was at prior, didn't feel they had the need for him, but I would say they probably just didn't see him between the lines with the lights on because that young man is extremely competitive and has a really bright future. You know, stuff is important. You got to be able to have a solid fastball and solid off-speed stuff. But man, the separators, what's inside you and how much you're willing to battle and fight and hang in there and just be resilient and hate to lose. And man, that's where I think a lot of people missed on Corey Braun. And that's why I say we're very fortunate to have him because he is a guy that we may see throw a baseball for a lot of years with the makeup that he has to go along with the stuff. I think for Bryce Archie, you know, what a tough scenario, you know, with balancing football and baseball. We just, you know, we lost the midweek and we just had a chance to, we didn't want to waste the week for him. And we didn't want to throw him in a Wednesday meaningless scrimmage just to keep his pitch count going. So we thought we'd just push him to the weekend, and I think that's kind of, we're tiptoeing around his schedule the best we can and trying to get the most out of him that we can in the process. You know, we've got, as we move forward, we've got some days that he'll be with us, and we have some days that he won't. You know, he'll actually miss, he won't even travel to a few of the conference series away because of his commitment to spring football. So I think that's the tough part with guys that are trying to play two sports. You know, he's here on football scholarship. Those are the guys that are fitting all the bills, and his first, you know, matter at hand is to make sure he takes care of what he's got to take care of in football. And then we'll take whatever we can get. I mean, that's, like I said to you guys, I think earlier, we're just thankful that football is willing to let us have him in certain situations. So we'll probably dabble with some things. We're meeting again tomorrow with the football staff to make sure we can continue to coordinate the schedules. And we'll use Bryce as much as we can in as many different roles as we can, you know, as we move forward. We threw him in there a little bit out of desperation this weekend. And he threw well again. He threw well. It's obviously, we've got a tight pitch count on him. We certainly don't want to hurt him on our watch because we overused him. So there's kind of a lot of things at play with that situation. And again, there's another really good competitor. Man, what a competitor. So the end of April, I think the spring game is the last weekend of April. When he's done with that, we'll have him full time. But up until then, we'll be doing the balancing act.
Just a couple more points on those two guys in specific. You know, with him taking over the starting role at quarterback in the fall, you know, you can only imagine there's probably not a whole lot of time dedicated to being a pitcher, you know, like getting in that work at that off-season work that's necessary for being, you know, a successful D1 pitcher. But he's coming in and he's averaging one walk an outing. You know, he has three walks on the season. He's living around the zone a bit, but I've been super impressed with his walk count. You know, he's really done really well in that area for, in my opinion. And I've been really impressed with Bryce Archie thus far, and whatever role that we can have him in, I'm extremely grateful for, because I mean the kid's got pop. And as far as Corey Braun, it's funny. I mean, you spend a lot of time with these guys, so you get to know him personally, like on a personality level. But you say he's easygoing, but like one of my favorite parts about Braun is I love an athlete that shows emotion on the field. Like when you said play mad, you know, that's one of my favorite things you've ever said, coach. And so like when Corey Braun comes out of a tense inning-ending like strikeout or something, he is not shy. And you see, like you say, with the true characteristics come out when the lights are on between the lines. He'll look at the dugout or even the opposing dugout and have a few words. And you'd think that he was a 4-year bull with the way he was chirping to UCF, or that school in Oviedo, as we'll call them. I love his passion. And so it's funny that you said he's kind of easygoing, because I mean, man, I see right through that. He's a bulldog, and I love it.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. And I'll kind of end this segment just with an opportunity to for you, coach. If there's any players that you'd want to spotlight from the standpoint of, is it somebody maybe who bounced back from adversity, they had a rough go, they came back from it, maybe even somebody who wasn't playing much, but they stay really engaged every day, you're still impressed with the way that they contribute to the team. Any guys like that you want to shout out?
Well, I think more than that. I just think there are some guys fighting to get back on the field. I think there are some guys that have played just okay so far that I think you're going to see really pick it up. I think Lance Triple is as disappointed as anybody with his start, and Brad Keylor kind of the same way. I think both those guys are going to have really good stretches for us. So I'm looking forward to that. We haven't had that time yet where you've got four or five guys hot in your lineup at the same time. That's coming. We've had to battle and fight and claw to score and do some things, but that worm turns and you see more guys, start to really perform like we thought they would. I think Matt Rose is another guy that didn't play a lot last weekend. We gave some other guys some time, but I think he's another guy. Stewart Puckett. So I think there are some guys there that are going to start playing at a much higher level as they get more reps. And we got some guys fighting to get back on the field. Hopefully Austin Newton can get through his throwing progression and we can get him back. Corbin Little is getting closer to getting back for us. So there are a couple guys there battling every day to try to get back on the field. And we certainly need those guys to get healthy and get back and help us. But there's a lot. I know there's been, at least for us internally, it seems like there have been some ups and some downs and some really low points, and guys work too hard to struggle at times and just wear it. I think the important thing, and this past week we had to go back to work, but the important thing is you don't lose your enthusiasm for what you're trying to do. And that was really the message of this past week of practice. You just can't. You can't go to hell every day and go to work. Eventually, hell burns you up and you're done. And in baseball terms, it burns you out. You get burnt out and you don't want to play anymore. And so I think when you're down, that's when we gotta find the excitement, enthusiasm, and the why that we play this thing and the why we put ourselves in the arena to be criticized by everybody. And it's simply because guys love to compete. And you guys are doing podcasts now instead of being able to compete, and it sucks when that's taken away from you, right? And so this past week was all about competition. It was all about enthusiasm. It's you gotta get back in there and go, because Maryland really doesn't give a damn that we got some pitchers that have been out for us. They don't care that we've got a couple other position guys dinged up that may play, may not. Nobody cares. And that fight and that coming together and getting out there every day to compete for one another, that's the only thing we got right now. And guys need to understand that.
Well, I love that. I love that. I'll kick it to
Cool.
go ahead. Oh yeah, last segment. Last segment, we just want to kind of think about look back at the past weeks, just general state of the team, and just kind of looking ahead to the rest of the upcoming slate. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, so my question is, obviously this past weekend with the Villanova series, it wasn't exactly what we were looking for. We had some struggles with our bullpen and coming through with runners on base. I will say there was some pleasant surprises with Jorge DeCárdenas going 7 innings. That was really impressive, as well as James Hill had a really nice bounce back. Just to point out some good performances, but. How did you address the team on Sunday after the series loss? I know you kind of talked about it a little bit already in terms of, staying enthusiastic and keeping your attitude up, but was there anything specific in terms of, the way that we played this weekend that needed to be addressed?
I don't say a lot right after games. You guys have been out there, it's very quick after the game. I like to have a little time to go home and digest and come back the next day and kind of wrap things that following day. Really disappointed in last weekend, in a lot of phases. It wasn't just the, there were some things that probably go unnoticed by just a lot of people watching the game, that just whether it be positioning things or other things that we dropped, and didn't pitch it well. And not only that, it's not so much the fact you have a bad day. It was a bad competitive day. I can live and die. You can come kick our rear ends from one side of McEwen to the other, and we'll wear it. But when you drop just a little bit in your fight and your competitiveness, and you give in a little bit, those are hard days to swallow. And I just felt like we gave in a few points. And that meant, practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, it was competitive. I mean, the losers had to run, and there was a lot of running. We just had good competitive practices, and we talked before. I didn't want a lot of conversation about the weekend. We went to the field and just went to work. Sometimes my dad used to tell me all the time when we were working, you can't talk and work. And so I learned that at a really young age to keep my mouth shut and just do what we need to do. And sometimes that's what young players need. I don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it, but damn it, we need to get to work here and fix it.
And two, it's a quick turnaround as well. Obviously, this week it's not as quick of a turnaround, but getting back to work right after going to the next practice, you gotta get focused again and find that focus for the next game.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think the other thing about last Saturday that was kind of, you guys remember, I think it was the UCF game on Saturday too. We gave up six in the first. So, and I listened to a good, somebody was interviewing Bill Murray when they did the movie Groundhog Day, because I felt like we were in Groundhog Day over and over and over there for a few days. And that's what practice and everything felt like. But he was telling the story about not only was he doing Groundhog Day and stuck in Groundhog Day, but the damn groundhog bit him on both of the takes. He even wore gloves with some type of special protection, and he still the groundhog bit through the bit through the glove and got him. So I kept thinking about that, sitting in the dugout. We give up another six spot, and I'm thinking about Groundhog Day. It's not just Groundhog Day, but the damn thing's biting us on top of it. So it. That stuff, when you're down, it seems like if you're not careful, that can really bleed over. And I still felt like there was a little bleed over from even UCF. When your memory takes you right back to, oh, that's another six spot on a Saturday. And then it puts you right back in that UCF beating for 2 days, and you can't get your mind past it. And that's really the test of our team right now. We're in a profession where, if we're not careful, you ask about going back and rehashing some of the Villanova things. We're in a profession where players have to have short-term memories. And if you're not careful, you teach them to have a long-term memory, which is terrible. And so for us right now, It's not that we don't want to learn from what's happened to us and we don't want to improve from what's happened to us, but man, we gotta make sure we get past it and we have short-term memory and we get back out there and remember what success feels like, looks like, tastes like. And this stretch coming up, it's going to be really important that we do that because Maryland is probably the best hitting team that we will face this season.
Yeah.
Florida Gulf Coast always swings the bats. I've been down here for years playing against them. They've always got a good offense. And then UAB's played as well as anybody in our conference. So as you look at the next stretch, we may have to buy dogs to travel with us. I don't know. We got to figure something out. But the guys are going to compete. I don't worry about that. I don't. Our guys in the bullpen are going to figure some things out. And those are all things. Are we going to have bad days again? Absolutely, absolutely. But hopefully, as time goes, we get better at handling what comes to us.
I will say, and I hope this is a sign of progress as well. After we did go down 6-0 on Saturday, we didn't give up at all. We came back and scored 5 runs in the first 2 innings and ended up claiming a lead going into that 8th inning. But hopefully that hopefully the guys take something positive out of that and bring that going forward.
I already took that from them.
We want no leaves.
You just have to stay out of the beginning. We were fortunate that it was, a Villanova starter that didn't throw well. A lot of good starters that may look like a Corey Braun, you give them a 6-0 lead and you might as well start packing the gear up in the dugout. And that's the reality of so far. I mean, you look up there and it's a 6 or it's a 4 or it's a 5. You've just done a terrible job minimizing damage. And if you give good teams a big inning, they're going to beat your tail and they're going to figure out how to match up their pitching down the stretch if they have it. And that's why they're good teams. They have good starters, they have good leverage pitchers. And if you give them a big inning, it's really hard to get back.
No, that makes total sense.
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to touch on, just not wanting to talk about it. Like, I love that as a head coach of, a great D1 baseball school like USF, you gotta pick your battles and pick your poisons a bit. And with baseball, you gotta kind of be like a duck. You gotta let that water slide off your back and move forward. And it's funny that you bring up Groundhog Day because one of the biggest like underlying themes is, looking forward to tomorrow kind of thing. And I think there was a quote like, it was no matter what that little rodent says, winter can't last forever or something like that. So it's like I love the symbolism there, and that's one of my favorite movies. I thought that was pretty hilarious. Anyways, so this past week we were scheduled to have a midweek against FGCU. There were some storms coming in on the West Coast. They ended up canceling. It's my understanding that we ended, I believe, did we travel for that and then they canceled after traveling, or did we not
No,
travel for that?
they canceled prior to us leaving.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So we were able to go ahead and just practice.
That's, well, I'm glad that we got to practice in. We probably could have practiced down there as well as the storms cleared out about 5 p.m., but we won't go there. Without a midweek game, though, you touched on it a little bit earlier. How did that impact practice? Did we have some scrimmaging more? I heard there were some position battles that between the infielders, and how have we looked in practice this week? How's the intensity? And are there any specific points of emphasis that you've been working on? One thing I've noticed is that we've really been, in the moments where it's called for, the small ball has really come through for us, and that's something that I really like, showing discipline, and doing what needs to be done in order to, push that run across or advance that runner. It's not always the most exciting thing on a stat sheet, but being a ball player my whole life, it's just part of the game. But if you could expand more on that, I would love that, Coach.
Well, I think Coach Peters and Coach Cates have spent a lot of time on the short game and the base running and all of those things. And those are things that really pay off, especially in close games. I think the reality is we don't have the offense to score in bunches. And so I think in a lot of cases, when we get down 4 or 5 runs, it really cuts at the type of game that we want to play. It really cuts into it. And so I think that's a big piece of what our identity needs to be. We've got to be able to small ball it. We got to be able to hit behind guys. We got to be able to steal a bag when we need it. Because up and down the lineup, I mean, it's not like we're producing the number of home runs. I think Maryland's got one hitter that has more home runs than our entire team. So it's not like we have a lot of power lying up and down the lineup. So we've got to be able to do those things. And those guys have spent a lot of time with our guys working and working and working on that. So hopefully that's something you see continue to show up as we move forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. I agree. I mean, I think seeing the team being well-rounded, being able to score in different ways, we're seeing that, but seeing it all come together, all the phases of the game come together, something we're looking for obviously this weekend. And speaking of this weekend and just the upcoming stretch, we've already touched on it a bit, right? But just for the fans that may not be aware, we got 8 games coming up in the next 10 days. Best because of the 2 midweeks back to back with Florida Gulf Coast. That's got implications for pitching, and obviously, your priority at the end of the day is always the conference game, so you want to align yourself up for that as well. So what is kind of like your mindset going into this, and what do you think is really going to be the key for you all to have success? And you already mentioned how challenging each of these teams that you're going to be facing is.
Sure. Well, I think ultimately, you start and end with pitching, right? Pitching and defense. We've just frankly got to pitch it this weekend, and we've got to catch it. And even if we pitch it and catch it, this team's going to score some runs. That's just how they're built. Most of their recruiting is centered around offense. And then because it's more of an offensive laden club, we've got to be able to take advantage of them defensively when the opportunities arise. And I think that's the key. I think, tomorrow night, their guy McCoy and Braun will be the best left-hand matchup in the country tomorrow night.
I agree.
Their guys 94, 95, 6'3, whatever. Good, really good slider, really hard on lefties. So I think those two guys throwing against each other tomorrow night is probably the premier matchup of lefties in the country tomorrow night. Saturday, Sunday, their pitching drops off. And obviously after Braun, ours does too. I mean, it's hard to have three guys throwing like Braun in your rotation. But I think the key is going to be how we're going to try some things. We're going to try to, put Archie on the backside. We're going to try to put DeCardenas on the backside. We're going to try to split up the front of the game with some guys to try to get to those guys in the fourth inning. I feel like one of the things that's been hurting us is that, when you have a really good bullpen, your starter leaves and there's no drop. There's no drop in velocity. There's no drop in stuff. I mean, those are good teams. And I think for us, when our starter has left, we drop off too much, and the at bats are frankly easier after those guys are out of the game. So I think we've got to steal innings on the front side and try to get to those guys later in the game.
I love the idea. It kind of reminds me of, we're here in Tampa Bay, right? The home of, I would argue, where the opener was invented. Tampa Bay Rays kind of started doing that concept, bringing a guy in for the first inning and then going from there. Is that sort of kind of what you have in mind, or is it a modified version of that?
It's probably more of a, I would, plural openers. It depends on the number of guys that it takes us to get through the first 3 or 4 innings. And I think that's kind of the key to it. Obviously, in Tampa Bay when it started, the guy they had opening was still pretty good too.
Yeah.
So we're going to start Keister on Saturday. He's been our best ground ball guy to this point on our staff, and you guys know on Saturday and Sunday here, it seems like the daggone wind's been blowing out every weekend. So we need somebody to roll some ground balls and keep the ball in the park, and then hopefully get to a higher leverage arm in the fourth inning or so.
I love it. I love it. And on the topic of the Cardinals, really impressive. I mean, to just come out in the middle of the first inning and then drop 7 innings the way that he did. And he's got a lot of physical talent, one of our higher end velo guys on this current roster, especially for long duration stretches. You just talk a little bit about like his bounce back and what you like about what he's going to be doing going forwards. I think
I think that his guys still got me okay?
now I do, yes.
You got it? Okay. I think for DeCardenas, I think maybe the velocity hurt him. It took him a little while to understand that his best pitch was a changeup. And I think sometimes when guys throw hard, they just want to jam it by guys. And I think what really helped him last weekend is he pitched off a changeup. He used the changeup as his primary pitch, and that because of that, his fastball probably looked 96 instead of 92. But I think it was just a willingness on his part to understand that, hey man, that's your best pitch. You should use that to set up the other things. Don't use your fastball to try to set up, your other pitches. So he was predominantly change up fastball for the first time. He loves the breaking ball like all guys. And there's a time and a place for it, but the other day he didn't need it. I mean, that was pretty much exclusive change up fastball. And I think if he can continue to do that, I think the reason that's so important for righties in our game is it allows you to get left-handers out. And I think that's where a lot of righties struggle in terms of getting good left-hand hitters out. And we certainly struggled, UCF. No secret, the way to beat them is left-hand pitching. And when we had to go all right, and they were able to stack six lefties in there, it just changed the weekend. So that's what Jorge did really well, was use the changeup effectively.
That's awesome. Makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you for answering like all our questions and everything. Before we let you go here, we always like to give you the final word. Is there any last thoughts you want to share with Bulls fans, whether it's about the team or just going forwards? Any last comments before we close it out?
No, just hang in there. Hang in there. It may not be as pretty as any of us like certain days, but these guys are battling their tails off and they're not going to give in. The practices have been good. The guys are putting the time in and putting extra time in. That's the other thing that a lot of people don't see that, you get down by our cages before practice starts. We got about every hitter there putting extra time in. So I think that's important for fans to know. These guys are putting the time in and they're putting the effort in, and they're the kind of guys you want to root for. You want to root for guys that have invested a lot into something.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you again, Coach, for joining us. On behalf of myself and Matt and John, really appreciate you taking the time and looking forward to watching you all this weekend and this eight these it's fun for us as fans. 8 games in 10 days. I mean, we love to see that. A lot of Bulls baseball coming up. So
Yeah, a lot of baseball. Look forward to seeing you guys at the park.
yes, we'll see you there. Take care. Have a good night.
Okay, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.